Well, this past Friday and Saturday, yesterday, the day before, Katarina and Lorraine and I were in Lynchburg, Virginia, at the campus of Liberty University. And I had an opportunity to participate in a graduation celebration of my own. Being at a place like that, having come from Messiah, which is where I did my undergraduate work, which, by the way, now, of course, it's twice the size that it was when I was there in the late 70s. That's 1970s. Just, I know you were thinking that, 1970s. Liberty, though, it's... And whether or not you were a fan of Jerry Falwell or not, I mean, the man did not do everything perfectly by any means. They struggled through a lot of things. This college, the university, was founded in 1971. So it hasn't been around all that long, but the growth and the blessing that God has placed over that place is very obvious. And not just by the buildings, not just by what it is that they do. Everything's very first class, but it wasn't always like that. They went through several decades of tremendous struggle, where they weren't sure they were going to be able to stay open except for the vision that God had given Falwell Sr. His son now is the president. Jerry Falwell died 11 years ago. I guess it was this weekend, his son told us. So there are, as I understand it, in this graduating class of 2018, 20,000 students that are graduating around the world, because it has one of the largest online universities in the world. They claim there are 100,000+ students that are enrolled through their programs there. There were over 5,800 of us that were there on campus. That's just the graduates, 5,800. Piling into the football stadium for this thing, in the rain. Now they said if it's raining, they're gonna do it inside and they'd have to do like you guys where they have to make adjustments. But if it's just drizzling, then we would do it outside. Now, I don't know everything, and I'm not a meteorologist, but I know the difference between drizzle and rain. It was raining on us the whole time we were out there. But you do what you gotta do. So we're a part of all of this, and it was such a great blessing. Walking down on the football field, that was kind of cool. Just to, look up, this is what it's like to be a football player at a big school. I had a chance just to sort of walk around a little bit. Dr. Ben Carson was there. Liberty University was graduating their very first class of medical doctors. They had never had that completed in that course, so it's the very first one. Dr. Carson, those of you that know who he is, he's a politician, also a phenomenally brilliant surgeon. As I understand it, he was the head of one of the major medical divisions of Johns Hopkins University at the age of 33. That's no small feat, as I understand it. So graduating their first class, Dr. Ben Carson was there. And then President Jimmy Carter gave the commencement address, which was wonderful. It was very neat to be able to see him and to hear a very godly man. Whether you agree with his politics or not, he certainly was the president during a very difficult time of our nation in the 1970s. You remember the gas lines? Those of us that are old enough to remember that, you guys just relax. But you remember the gas lines? I mean, 30, 40 cars in line to get gas during that shortage, and that was during Jimmy Carter's administration. So he got a lot of flack for those kinds of things that he really didn't have as much control over as I think we'd like to think he would have. But the fact is, he never compromised who he was called to be as a man of God. He still teaches a Sunday school class. He's teaching one right now. He said, I got to go back home to Plains. I got to teach a Sunday school class. Maranatha Baptist Church. He's been there forever. The man's 94 years old and married to his wife for over 70 years. I mean, it's incredible. All of this is going on. And as we're standing out there and walking around in the drizzle and all of the rain, You go through all the different, the baccalaureate was first, that was Friday night, and then yesterday early was the commencement in the stadium, and then we had our degree conferment, where we all went to our separate places, our separate colleges, to receive our degrees. And so you're sitting in the chairs, you're sitting there, and you've got all your regalia on, your cloak and your hat, and it looks really good on me. I had to get a double extra large to get it over top of this melon here. So you're sitting there trying to look regal and trying to feel comfortable in all of this. And of course they ask you to stand and you make your way around towards the stage and they're shooting people through like cattle. Nothing else they can do. They have to move along quickly. I got to the step to get ready to walk up. And I was on the end of the row, so I was one of the very first ones to get around when my group got up there. And I stood there at the step, another two people in front of me. You walk up three steps to go across the stage. The dean of your college shakes your hand, says congratulations, and then you walk over and there's two others, including the founder of the School of Divinity. So I get my picture taken with them and all that. Stand at the step. And I'm feeling this emotion begin to come up in me. Now, I'm not a crier by definition. I don't cry a lot. Karen is a crier. And that's okay. That's fine. People, there are some people that are just very emotional, very naturally. It takes a little bit more for me. But see, she's crying right now. I feel bad about that. So I'm standing there, and I'm feeling this emotion. And so I'm going, okay, well, what is this all about? And first thing I'm thinking is, if you cry, I'm going to punch you in the throat. Stop, don't cry. Walking, nobody else is crying. Why are you want to cry? And I didn't know what was going on. But as I thought about it driving home, and I didn't cry, by the way. As I'm driving home last night, we're driving home. It's late. It's foggy. It's raining. I'm going through this in my mind thinking, what was that all about? I mean, yes, it's the end of a journey. It's not the final journey, but it's a portion of it that God's allowed me to be able to complete, and I'm going to start up again sometime in the fall. But I felt as we were driving home, I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, what did you learn these last 2 days? What are you taking with you from what it was that you just experienced? And you know, I've talked about that so much here, that we never miss opportunities for what it is that God wants to teach us, no matter where we are or what it is we're doing. God doesn't just come and teach us sitting in church. A pastor is not going to be able to teach you everything you need to know. As a matter of fact, if we're truly honest with ourselves, we have just a very, very small portion of that responsibility in your life. The responsibility for us to learn is on each of us. Every single day, no matter where we are, no matter what it is that we're doing. So there were three things that I came to that I think that God was speaking to my heart. It started on Friday. As I said, we had three primary events that we had. The baccalaureate was the first one. Now, the definition, here's the definition of what baccalaureate means. It's a farewell sermon that is given to graduates. You guys had a baccalaureate service? Okay, so you went through all that, you're sitting there, you're feeling all excited, you got your family there and all that. So commencement exercises haven't taken place. A baccalaureate is a farewell sermon. It is also another definition for a degree that is conferred on someone who has completed an academic course of study. That's what baccalaureate means. So in this service, we've got over 10,000 people crammed into this, what's called Vine Center. It's the basketball a court and all that kind of thing, where they play volleyball and all that kind of thing. 10,000 of us crammed in there. There were great music. I mean, just phenomenal, the voices that these people have. Great words of encouragement and instruction. We're being challenged to make a difference on what God has given us by way of knowledge and by way of experience. But it was the 20 minutes right after the service that actually made the greatest impression on me. That I'm taking with me. It was torrentially raining Friday evening. I mean pouring. I have got my wife and three octogenarians that I'm toting around. That means people in their 80s. That's what that means. Three octogenarians I'm carrying around with me. It's pouring rain. I am now scared to death that all three of these people that I love with all my heart are going to get pneumonia and be in the hospital in 2 days because they came down for this for me. So I say, okay, Pastor Dave, we get that. That's nice. You dried off. You got to your car. I was over half a mile away from the building. So I'm running, trying to get to the car as quick as I can. There's no place to drive. You think it was packed at your place on Saturday. Oh, my. There were 35,000 people, I think, at the commencement service in the stadium itself. So getting around and all of that, a tremendous challenge. But as I'm bringing these folks to the car and we're getting through this and I'm fighting through the rain and I'm trying not to think, you know, God, it's been raining for what, 6 years already now? Couldn't it just tonight we could have maybe not had quite as much rain? That wasn't in the plan. It wasn't 6 years, but it felt like it. So I felt like the Holy Spirit said, all right, so let's look at this a second. Does everything always go exactly the way that you hope that it will every moment? No, it doesn't. Does it sometimes rain when you would rather be outside doing different things? Yes, it does. Sometimes it rains on your wedding day. Not your first choice, but you're still going to get married. You're still going to marry your best friend, the most important thing. So I felt like that God said to me, here was the first one, how are you going to deal with adversity and obstacles that come in your way through the course of your walk every day? What are you going to do? And he brought this passage of scripture to my mind. If you've got your Bible, turn with me real quick to Philippians 3. How are you going to handle the obstacles that come up? What are you going to do when all of a sudden there's a bit of a roadblock? It's more inconvenient. It's harder to get through. And Paul's words were brought to my mind. This is Philippians 3. It's very familiar. Start in the 10th verse. I don't like starting in the middle of a chapter, but for what we're doing here, go back and read the first part. You know me, context, very important. You just don't pull out pieces and go, okay, this is what this means. Read the context. Philippians 3, start in the 10th verse. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead, verse 12, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but watch, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to be have taken hold of, but only one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards that which is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I don't see anything in there that says that every step that I take, every direction I go, is going to be clear, beautiful sunshine sailing. Nothing in there. As a matter of fact, as I said earlier, I believe that it's in those moments when we have those obstacles come that those are the moments that our faith needs to increase. If you ask God for patience, is he just going to give you patience? No, he's going to put you in situations and circumstances where your patience needs to be increased. If you pray and ask God for more faith in your life, is he just going to go, okay, there you go, more faith? No, he's going to bring situations into your life that require you to exhibit and to strengthen your faith. Can I encourage you this morning, when you see those obstacles come, don't let them prevent you from doing what it is that God has called you to do. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Dave. All right, I got you on this one. Hang on. What if that's God that put the obstacle there? Well, if you're on a path right now that you have not asked God that you're supposed to be doing that, you need to stop anyway. We ask God what it is that he desires for our lives. That's why I keep everything of who I am before him to say, Father, if this is not your will, speak to me, show me, make something take place that is just very clear that I need to stop and go in a different direction. This is why I don't think we should do things by ourselves, church. We cannot and should not isolate ourselves away from people in our lives. Now, the key with that, though, is that you just don't look for people that are going to tell you what you want to hear. We do that all the time, don't we? You're thinking about something, you go, well, I'll go find that because I know they'll just, oh, whatever you want's just fine. No, no. Find those people that love you that'll speak the truth into your life. Stay in the Word of God. Anything that takes you away from him is not his will. It's never his will. So stay the course while you're fighting through those times. Here's the second thing. Saturday morning, then, at the commencement service. It starts at 10 o'clock. We're supposed to be there by 7:30. Because our procession begins at 8, because it took over an hour and a half for all of those that were graduating for us to all walk in the thing. This is how I walked, going in, just like this. Walking in, lady came up to me. I was actually standing out in the group in the field while we were all kind of gathering. I was there real early. And I'm standing there in my regalia, and I'm just sort of standing there just kind of looking off. I don't know what I was looking at. I do that a lot, I know. This lady walks up to me. She says, excuse me. She said, you look like you're just about to preach a sermon. I said, actually, I'm thinking about what I'm going to preach tomorrow when I get to my church and know what I'm going to say. She said, does anybody ever tell you that you really are familiar? You look like Billy Graham. Has anybody ever said that? I said about every 10 minutes, yes, I hear that constantly. I'll take his anointing. That would be just fine. So anyway, she and I became commencement buddies. Beautiful African-American lady from Ohio. She's there. She finished up her bachelor's. She's all by herself. I mean, she's in her late 60s, I think she said. Just a delightful lady. So she kind of latched on to me because she was all by herself. So we paraded in and went through all of this. So it takes over an hour for us to get in there. And the first thing that I recognized and realized when I walked into that place was I am only one of 30,000 people in here. And one of the things that one of the speakers spoke about, he said, those of you that are receiving your degrees and those of you that are getting your bachelor, some of you your master, some of you your doctorate. He said, listen, let me just encourage you with something. Be pleased with what it is that's taking place. It's a great accomplishment, but don't get full of yourself. And I thought, God, that is such a great element and a great mind thing for us to plug in to say, you know what, no matter what it is that takes place, I need to recognize that I am nothing without the Father. There is nothing of good of my life that I have ever accomplished that has not come from God's hand. One of the things that I'll often share with couples that are getting married is about not sweating the small stuff of life. And I tell them, you know, it's good for people to be able to laugh at all of those things of life. And, you know, it's really important for someone that has the wisdom to step back and laugh at themselves. And I thought, you know, God, I think that's what it is that you want me to understand right now. It does not matter what degrees we get. It doesn't matter what job you have. It doesn't matter how much money you make. None of those things are going to mean a thing when we stand in front of the throne and say, Father, all I have is yours. What has my life been that I have done with what it is you've given me? You guys, you ladies that have been coming here as a part of Remnant Life, you guys have more talent. It's mind-boggling how wonderful each and every one of you folks are. The things that we talk about regularly as a church of what God's going to be doing in your lives, but you know what? You're not all that. You're just this far away from doing something that could short-circuit you off in a direction you don't want to go. You go, well, thanks, Pastor Dave, for your encouragement. We really appreciate that. That's not the point. The point is you keep your eyes on Jesus, and every talent that he's given you, every talent that he's given us, he will use to his glory and to his honor. But I'm never going to allow that to bring me to the place where I'm thinking that somehow all of this is about me. The Bible speaks of pride, proud, and haughty 122 times in the NIV. Virtually every single one of those are in the negative. Listen to a couple of them here. This is what the writer of Proverbs writes. God says, I hate pride and arrogance. Do you need to hear any more than that? I hate pride and arrogance. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Where there is strife, there is pride. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride. Pride goes before destruction. Pride brings a person low. So the very thing a proudful person wants to do of elevating themselves, it actually does just the opposite, and it lowers us. Church, whatever it is that God's going to do in your life, wear your cloak of humility tightly around your shoulders to know that any praise you get, any glory that you get, must be given to the Father because that's where it came from. Here's the last one. Yesterday afternoon, we get done with the commencement. All look like drowned rats. Everybody's got their free ponchos on that are about this thin, I think. They're just little ponchos we put over us. Saturday afternoon, though, we end up going to the original Thomas Rhodes Baptist Church. And any of you that know anything about Falwell, is that's the church that he started from which the university grew out of that. God gave him a vision for that. As I said, it was founded in 1971, and it was in that church where we received our degrees that the very first classes were taught before they had to move, before they got just so big. And there were probably about, what do you think, about 200 of us or so, 150, something like that. There were a lot of us that were receiving our degrees. But as I said before, as I walked up those steps, this wave of emotion came over me, and it startled me because I wasn't expecting it. And just asking God, okay, God, what's this about? It's certainly not nerves. I'm fairly comfortable in front of people. You may not have noticed that yet. So that wasn't an issue. The place was packed. I mean, there's all kinds of people there. And yes, it was a sense of accomplishment, I guess, but this is not the end. I'm going to take the summer off, and then in the fall, I'm going to start it all up again because I apparently am a masochist or whatever that means when you start the next program. So I said, God, what is this about? And I think the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and he said, David, what are you now going to do with what it is that I've given you? What are you going to do with your life now from this point on? I've been a Christian my entire life. I've dedicated my life to the Lord more than one time. There's some times when I've walked away and I feel like I need to come back and say, God, I'm here I am. I want you to have my whole life again. I don't want to pick it back up. But I felt like that God was saying to me right there, okay, Dave, here's your point. This is what's happened. This is what's been accomplished. Now what are you going to do? And see, I would ask each and every one of you here this morning to ask yourself that same question. What are you going to do with what it is that God's given you? And it doesn't matter whether you're at a turning point in your life. You guys are all at turning points. This is a moment you're going to look back on in your life. I finished these 4 years of school. Now I'm in the world. Now I have responsibilities that are different. Now what is it I'm going to take from all of those things and use them to the glory of God forever he's going to have me? But folks, that's a question for each and every one of us here as well. What are you going to do with what God's given you? As I look out at all of you here, and I know most of you fairly well, varying degrees, but I know the talents and gifts that God's given you. You, each of you, have tremendous untapped potential within you. That doesn't mean you haven't already accomplished, but there's so much more in each and every one of us. And I believe that all God is waiting for some, is just for us to say, God, this belongs to you. Doesn't matter where you take me. Keith's family's been traveling all over the globe. Where are you now? New Zealand? Australia. Where are you now? You're back in Japan. Did you ever leave Japan? You lied to me big time. I'm not listening to you anymore. But it was Spain for a while, right? And then now Japan. I mean, who knows where God's going to take them? But their lives are open. Now, you don't need to go overseas to make your life available to God. Make your life available to God tomorrow morning when you go to work. And make a difference in that place. You say, Pastor Dave, you have no idea the 14-karat gold knuckleheads that I have to work with. I understand. I've had my fair share of knuckleheads in my past as well. Question is, what are you going to do? You're going to lower yourself to behave like them? You're going to lower yourself to begin to act like they do? Or are you going to stand above what it is that's going on there so that you can be an example for Jesus Christ? Yesterday at our conferment, the dean of the seminary spoke first. And one of the things that he talked about was the inflowing of liberal Christianity into our churches and into many quote-unquote Christian schools that are now embracing doctrines that are completely against the Word of God. And his challenge to each of us was, he said, you, when you go out, now with whatever it is that you've achieved, whatever it is that God's given you, he said, you need to out-love the liberal agenda. He said, you need to out-serve the liberal agenda. You need to act in a way that does not, I don't come against them, I do more of what it is that I know God's called me to do. And that starts with, he said, protect the banner that is the Word of God. Stand on this. And that's my challenge for each of you this morning. I know it won't be easy, because the culture of our world comes against the things of God's word, especially those things that somehow don't embrace the agenda of our culture today. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Now, we're moving in just a couple of weeks. 2 weeks, we go to the new place. And my question for us is, what kind of an impact are we going to have on that community when we live? We're going to be now in community area. People living all around us. What are we going to do? They say, well, Pastor Dave, we can do all kinds of programs. We can do all kinds. No, wait a minute. It isn't about programs. It's about us. It's about our hearts. It's about how we want to love those people. How much are we willing to love those that come? We're going to invite all of those communities to come and to be a part of what we're doing. How are you going to handle when we've got 20 people coming in? You're going, they're not a part of our church. Well, see, if we're thinking that, we've already taken a step back. Because every person that walks in our building is going to be a part of our church. You folks, Japan, go wherever you need to go. We don't care. You're a part of our church family from this point on. You seniors, wherever you guys are going to end up, and I know you got plans overseas and all kinds of different parts of the country, when you go back to Connecticut, Theo, you're part of this family. We'll always love you. We will always support you guys, no matter where it is that you go. But that's true for every person that's going to walk in to that new place. Every person from the community, they may not dress well. They may not know anything about God. They may come in and swear and do all kinds of stuff. You know what? We're still going to love them because that's what we're called to do. That's who we are as a church family. So can I encourage you this morning? Make sure that whenever it is that you're involved in the things that God's doing in your life, that you press through those times that come up against you. Don't let the enemy come and take you off track. Never, ever allow yourself to think that you are more than anything than just simply an instrument of God. And then always be ready to welcome those people that come, to know that we have a plan for what it is that God's going to do here, but it starts with you. What is God's desire for your life, and what are you going to do to walk in the fullness of that to his glory? Amen? Bow your heads with me if you would. Well, Father, I just want to thank you for this time together this morning. I thank you for every person that's here. God, all the families that are represented. Father, the ones that we know so well, and God, we're walking through all of this together. And Lord, I pray that we would just desire one thing and one thing alone, and that's to be in the very center of your will. As we have prayed as a church so many times, not my will, your will be done. And Father, I pray that as we leave this place today, that wherever it is that we go, that we are a representative. We are an ambassador for Jesus Christ and for the kingdom of God, that we would bring light, that we would hold our tongues, Father, that we don't always have to be right. We don't always have to be vindicated. We don't always have to be the one that's the center of attention. Father, those are the things of the world. But Father, the Bible tells us we're not of this place. We're passing through. And until we get to our home, Father, we are called here to show the love of Jesus Christ everywhere that we go and with everything that we do. So thank you, God, for speaking to us this morning. Let me do this. I want to ask my seniors, if you guys would, to all stand up, and I want you to get in the center here for me. We're going to pray over these kids before they head out. This is the last time we're going to get to see a number of them. Move on down. Or Micah, you stay up here because I think you want to talk for a second in a minute. There you go. Step on down there. All right. Come stand right here. Speak your piece. Yeah, I was a little bit overstated.
He's probably the only one who's not.
Keith's love only goes so far, so I just, that's all.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, we love you guys.
So it's kind of crazy when Pastor Dave was speaking. So the ministry that I'm going into, but I've been a part of for the past 2 years, it's called Young Life. And something that they tell us when we're going on staff, because we do youth ministry, we work with kids in high school, something that they tell us is, kids are not going to remember the crazy games that you play. They're not going to, oh, don't do it. You said you're not a crier, and I am.
Oh, I know you are. You're a blubberer. You're not a crier. You blubber.
That's right. They say kids are not going to remember the games you play. They're not going to remember the crazy songs that you sing. All that stuff, goes out the window. They're not even going to remember the best club talk that you give them.
Fight through it. You're okay.
Yeah. They say kids are going to remember how you love them.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put Pastor Dave to the test real quick on what he just preached. Like, I didn't come to this church, and I don't think we came to this church. The main reason was because the worship was great or the preaching was amazing.
Sure, sure.
I think we came to this church because you guys loved us well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I wanted to say that. I tried not to cry. Yeah, so I just wanted to thank you guys for loving us well these past three years.
Yeah.
Because you guys are more, obviously, like, just more than just a church, but you are our family, and, like,
that's right.
When you guys move, I encourage you to just keep loving well. Whoever is in the community, whether it is just different college guys, or, you guys have military families around you now. So
that's right. Cool. That's right. Right in your wheelhouse.
Huge.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
We just love you guys a lot.
Good job, buddy. You did good. You did good. Take that. All right. Stand up. Stand up. All right. Wherever you are, stand up. Come around these guys. I know it's getting a little bit warm, so just touch somebody near you that's touching them so we can pray over these guys. Thank you, Father. Well, Lord, like any family, it is incredibly painful to say goodbye to people that mean so much to you. And Lord, you have blessed us in this house with this particular group of guys, Lord, that have meant so much. And not just because they've led worship, that's been great. And Lord, not just because of the tremendous energy and fun and laughter that they bring, that's been great too. But God, you have brought to us young men and women who are just beginning an assignment that's going to help to change the world. And so, Father, now, each and every one of us that are touching them or in contact in some way, Lord, we are praying an anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall upon them that is going to give them an ability to be able to work and to walk in the supernatural of your power and your authority for their lives. Wherever it is that you take them, whatever job that you have prepared for them, for families, wives and husbands, children, Father, all of the things of their future, we are asking that there will be a presence of the Holy Spirit that will never depart from their lives. God, give them dreams and visions. Give them words of knowledge, words of understanding. Put healing in their hands. Give them, Father, an ability to speak to the enemy and drive it away in your authority and your power. And I pray, God, that in the years to come, that we will be able to watch and to know that you have been faithful to them because they are going to be faithful to you. Father, thank you. Keep them safe wherever they go. And God, we pray that they will know that this house, wherever it is that we are, will always be open to them. We will always be their family. We will always pray for them. We will always love them. But God, we could never love them as much as you do. And so God, keep them, protect them, and guard them. And we just thank you again for the incredible privilege that it's been for us to share this small portion of their lives. And we dedicate and present them to you anew, all to your glory and honor, in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names. Amen and amen.